everybody. Thank you for joining us today on Bench Talk. I am Jackie Mitchell, your PM professor, and I am excited today to be talking with Tiana Doughton. Tiana is a badass that I met. When did I meet you, Tiana? In July of last year. July of last year. I'll go into how we met, but Tiana is a yoga teacher and, like I said, an all-around badass. She is a health and fitness guru, and I asked her to join me today to talk about a really important topic that I'm getting a lot of questions on, and not just questions. I'm seeing a lot. I know we just started the year, and I'm seeing a lot of people who are already burnt out and it carried over from 2018. A lot of women who struggle with finding a balance with life and career, and finding a balance with life, career, and children, matter of fact, and taking time for themselves and taking time for self-care, and, you know, just really having a hard time understanding how important it is, and not necessarily sure what they're supposed to do, how they should do it, and if they even have time to do it. You know, most people think they don't have time to take care of themselves. And I will tell you that you absolutely have time to take care of yourself. You are your number one priority and should be your number one priority, because if you are not in a good position mentally and physically, there's no way that you can serve and be of service and give your best to anyone around you, whether that's professionally or personally. And so I invited Tiana on to talk about that in general, specifically and in general, because I met Tiana, like I said, I met Tiana back in July 2018, and we both took a class or did our learning on coaching and how to become a coach. Not necessarily how to become a coach, but we were doing our certification. And I was sitting in the room and this young lady walks in and her energy and her aura was very interesting. And I was like, she's cool. So over the course of 3 days, we connected and I, you know, talked with her. She talked with me. We actually did coaching with each other. It was very intimate and very vulnerable. But I had a really good time and we've been following each other on social media and trying to keep in touch. And I thought this would be a really great opportunity to reconnect with you, Tiana, to talk about your story and to help women and just people in general to understand how important it is to have self-care and just give some tips on what we can do and you know, just talk about the importance of it for our bodies and mentally how important it is. So welcome, Tiana. Thank you so much for joining. I want to start with your story. You know, how did you get here and what exactly the here is? Where did you start from? And just your journey to where you are today. Let's talk about that a little bit.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jackie, for having me. I'm super excited to talk about all this. It's all very close to my heart and what I've built like my life and career on. So thank you for giving me this opportunity to share this. My background starts as a dancer. I was a dancer from the age of 2. I was actually on stage performing, like as a little 2-year-old, like bouncing around. And so from a very young age, I was just immersed in movement and had a, you know, pretty, from being raised in dance, like this, it seemed to be like innate, like knowledge and awareness of my body. And I danced competitively all through college, actually. And towards the end of college, I stopped dancing. I was burnt out. I was tired. I was also focused on school. So I stopped dancing. And, you know, over the course of the last couple of years of school, I put on like 50 pounds. Because it turns out I wasn't just innately in touch with my body and, you know, in shape. It was, you know, I was dancing 6 hours a day and that's what was doing it, you know?
Okay.
So I got to this point where I was very disconnected from my body. Mm-hmm. And there was one moment that struck me where it kind of like all hit, where, kind of a weird story, but I was in the shower and I lifted up my leg to like shave the spot, and it was hard for me to hold my leg up. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that moment like kind of floored me, because I was like, wait, I'm a dancer. Like, holding my leg up is like what we do. Like,
right.
Why is this so? It was this moment that like it just all kind of like hit, like how far from myself I felt like I'd gotten. I'm a very all or nothing person. So once I kind of had this realization, I was like, all right, something has to change. And I was going home for Christmas break. And over Christmas break, I made a point every day I was doing workouts in my room. Simple stuff like, you know, squats, holding planks. Like, again, I hadn't worked out or gone to the college gym in like 2 years. Like, I was kind of just starting, just doing body weight stuff, just kind of getting back in touch with my body again, and then stretching. And that was another moment where I kind of had a wake up call. Like, I used to be so flexible, and then I'd lost all my flexibility. And I was just like so bummed out about it. So I just put on like a CD that I liked and just like stretch until the CD was over. Like, I just like made myself sit there and like stretch. And over the course of the like 2 weeks I was home, I already saw progress. I was already seeing a little bit of like weight come off. I was seeing some more muscle definition come back, and I was seeing some of my flexibility come back. And so when I went back to college, I was like, I have to continue this. And I went to the gym and I got a trainer, and I worked with him twice a week. And he really helped me feel back in control of my body again. Mm-hmm. And work, you know, I was working out, I was eating well, I was like, and again, I'm very all or nothing. So I just like threw myself into it. And I was, for the first time in several years, like really excited and happy to be moving. And I hadn't been happy moving since I quit dance.
Right.
So after that, after I graduated, I mean, and at that point, I'd lost all the weight, and I was more in shape than I probably had ever been. And I was moving to New York. And so I moved to New York from California, and I was an ESL teacher for a little bit, and I liked teaching, but I wasn't like fully in my element as an ESL teacher. I enjoyed connecting with people, but I was, you know, becoming more and more in love with moving. And so that's what I was doing in my free time. So I eventually decided to become a personal trainer, and I got my certification, I believe like 8 years ago now.
Wow.
And from there, I started working at a gym and building up my client base. And to maintain your certification, every 2 years, you need to continue to like get a renewed, like continuing education, like some kind of other certificate. So from there, I became a nutrition specialist. After that, I became a certified yoga teacher. I did my, you know, several months of training over the course of like, yeah, I think it was like 9 months in total, like it's training for yoga. From there, I got certified in orthopedics and working with people with injuries.
Wow.
And the most recent thing I've gotten is that I'm now a certified boxing coach.
Oh, wow.
This is really like snowballed in kind of the best way. And I feel very lucky to be able to, you know, I had this trainer that impacted my life so positively, and that put me back, or he didn't put me, he helped me put myself back in control again.
Right.
And being able to pass that on to other people is such a gift. And I'm still teaching, I'm still doing the teaching thing, which is in a different capacity, teaching people how to move and how to love their bodies. And so that's kind of how I got here where I am. Now I'm living in New York, mainly doing private personal training and yoga. But I also teach, I teach at a rowing studio, and I teach at a boxing studio. So I do a little bit of everything, and that's kind of where I'm at now.
That is awesome. That's a lot. That is a lot. You're well-rounded. But let me ask you, out of curiosity, what were you studying in college?
Yeah, I was, you know, I'm kind of all over the place. I was studying intercultural studies. I didn't really know. I was a really good student. I always liked school. Mm-hmm. But I never had like, I didn't really care about getting some like, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And I didn't care about getting this like intense job, right? Climb some corporate ladder. Like, again, I was smart and I was good in school. And I think people expected I would like go into some like high-end field, like be like a doctor or a lawyer. And like, I just had no interest. I wanted to be happy in those jobs, and it seemed like they would make me happy. So I just decided that it wasn't for me. So I knew I loved traveling and I knew I loved people. So I was studying intercultural studies with an emphasis on like development work. Which, you know, and then from there I got into ESL, teaching English as a second language. And those are all still things that I care very much about. But now kind of reconnecting with my first love, which has always kind of been like movement.
Right.
And that kind of goes into, you know, to interpersonal, intercultural stuff as well, like movement as like, you know, your body, but movement also like growth, like movement as a, who you are as a person, like movement in and through the world and moving through the world powerfully and boldly in the body that you have. So, you know, I feel like in my life, it's all like, it's all connected, but the way that it's, my career has manifested has been mainly in the physical part of that.
It's so interesting because so many people, and I find that a lot of, younger folks, they're concerned with and almost afraid of choosing a major and not working in that when they're done. You know, they're not sure what they want to do. And just to kind of go along those lines a little bit, and we'll get into the self-care, but it's really interesting that where you were, it wove itself and lent itself to where you are now, you know? And I don't know if you could have foreseen that back then.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that it's sometimes not a straight line. You know, sometimes it's not a straight line. Sometimes it's, you know, it's building a foundation, which I believe college really should do, should be that foundation for those who choose that route. Obviously, not everyone wants to go that route, but it's a foundation. You know, and then from there, it can springboard into so many different areas and you can springboard into many different areas and go any path, you know, and your career path
absolutely
usually is not from A to B. Sometimes it's from A to G, back to B, over to D. You know what I'm saying? It's never really that straight line. I know for me, it wasn't. It didn't sound like that. It was for you. But, you know, you had that thread. You know, that common thread along what you wanted to do or what you liked and what your passion was.
Right.
And it builds and it manifests and it shows itself until you get to where you want to go. You know, so I found that's very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Like these things are like, it's never linear, you know, it's always, I think it's, you know, expecting people to plan out the rest of their lives from, you know, at the age of 18 is like, it's a lot, you know? And I think that having the degree that I studied in, I feel like it gave me a deeper sense of myself and of people and of the world and how to connect with people and how to engage the world in a certain way. And for me, that's what college should really all be about, just preparing you to like know yourself, know others, and know how to like carve a space for yourself.
Absolutely.
And it's really just about connecting. And like, that's what I do all day is like with my personal training clients and in my classes, it's about connecting to people. Like, sure, it's about making them sweat, but like, it's about making people feel that you care and actually caring about them. And you're taking people on a very personal journey. Like, someone's body is like the closest, most personal, like journey someone really goes on is that. And so, you know, it all comes back to that root of connecting and people. So yeah, even though like I think these things are a lot more connected than people make it out to be. I think most of life is more connected than people think it is. So
absolutely,
I think my degree definitely influences my career right now.
Absolutely, I think folks need to be, people should be much more open to receiving accepting the fact that it is not linear. You know, and even those who are mid-career and thinking, oh, what am I doing? Where should I go? What you're doing may be foundation for something else. It may not be exactly that same thing that you want to move into, but it may be a foundation for something else, you know? So that's very, very interesting that you recognize that as well. So let's shift gears a little bit and talk about self-care. You know, that I know that's your baby. I think our conversation will probably be me more asking you, so what about, you know what I mean? As the voice of folks that are talking to me and asking me questions. And I'm you know, obviously giving them advice and some direction on where to go and mm-hmm. how to do it. But I think this is really good to talk to you, who you're in it every day. You know, people come to you sometimes to get away from the everyday life and take care of themselves, make sure that they're mentally and physically strong in order to go out and serve, right? So
right.
If we're talking about self-care, let's talk about some different methods of self-care, even if it's unconventional, sorry. What are some of the different methods of self-care that people can follow?
Absolutely. So I work with a lot of people in New York that, you know, very like all over the career spectrum, but a lot of high-end corporate, high-powered kind of jobs. And you're absolutely right. This burnout is common across any career that people have. Like, people are run down and not connected to like their deepest needs. So for me, what I tell, the basic definition I give of self-care to people is that self-care is honoring your deepest needs in belief and in action. So knowing what those deepest needs are and honoring it, not just by your belief of being like, oh, I, you know, I believe that I need this, but honoring those deepest needs with the actions that you take. And so for me, that's rewiring your brain to treat yourself as something of value.
Yes.
And this can show a lot of different ways. So, you know, for me in my own personal life and how I work with a lot of my clients, everything is, you know, number one, based like in movement. Like, your body is made to move. It needs to move. And this can show up in a million different ways. Like, there's not one way to move or work out. Everybody just needs to sweat, essentially. Like, anything is probably going to be fine, just as long as you're moving. So for me and my clients, mainly that's yoga, weightlifting, and those things, you know, intersect a lot. For me, weightlifting is like, you know, feeling strong and powerful. And yoga is more of like that decompressing. So it's kind of going hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
So movement is number one. But I think that people also need to do the counter of that and to rest.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something that's super lacking in our culture. And especially if, you know, people living in cities or we're all go, 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 go. And I know myself, for the first, I don't know, 2 years, maybe three, I was working in this industry. I didn't have a single off day. And I was, you know, young and I had energy and I was like, I got this, like, I'm good. And then there was one day when I wasn't good anymore. And mm-hmm. I was like, I cannot sustain this. And so now I make myself program a off day for myself where I don't work. I don't take clients. I probably don't leave my apartment. And it's a day for me, my husband, my dog, and just to like completely relax. I don't care what the money offer is, or how, you know, no, like that's, I'm guarding that time.
Absolutely.
As more important than anything else at that time. So I definitely recommend taking that time for yourself. It might not be a whole day.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, you know, people have different jobs, people have kids, people have obligations, but carving out some time that you can regularly, weekly keep. Because otherwise, if you don't have that time, you're going to burn out, no question.
It's funny that you say that, because I just had a conversation or did a workshop and was talking about motivation and staying motivated and disciplined and how to do that. And one of the things that I said was that timeouts are not just for toddlers. You know, like, you really have to look at yourself and say, okay, do I need a timeout? A timeout from career, whether it's a timeout from not necessarily your personal life, but just taking time for yourself. And like you said, you need to schedule that regularly, because you have to pull away and shut down, because we're fed so much, so often, and it's almost nonstop. You know, we're on the go all the time. And, you know, this person needs something. Oh, I got to go do this. And I got to be here. And I have to do this. And I'm checking email. And I'm on Instagram. And I'm on Facebook. And I got it this. And we're always connected. It's not good.
It's constant.
Like, constantly. And it's constant. And I am, you know, guilty, you know. But I find that I protect my personal space and my personal time. I have to. So like late last year, for those who know and those who don't, late last year, Q4, you know, the last quarter of the year, I pretty much shut down. I backed up and shut down. And I said, I'm not taking on any more clients. I'm not doing anything else. You know, what I did do was plan, you know, just really more laid back planning for 2019 and beyond, right? But I wasn't doing those intensive, those coaching sessions, the one-on-ones, any of that. I needed to mentally take a break and physically take a break from it and not worry or concern myself with the financial aspect of it at all. I said, what is it costing me going, right? And it wasn't worth it. It really wasn't worth it because I was doing everything on my own and immersed in everything. And I came to the realization, I cannot do everything. I have to start delegating. I have to hire. And I need to take a step back and I need to have personal time and personal space. So now that is an extreme, right? But on a regular basis, daily, I have my space. Sometimes if I'm working at my client's office, I'll just go sit in my car and I'll just meditate, whether it's 10, 15 minutes. I need that time because that's my timeout. that's my timeout chair, you know? And I protect it and I have to, because if I am not good, you're not going to be good. I'm not going to be able to give you what you need. You know what I'm saying? So you're absolutely right. It's so important to just shut down and make that a priority. Because once you make that a priority, you're making yourself a priority. And a lot of people, I'd love you for you to talk on that. A lot of people are not making themselves priority.
Right. No, it's true. And what I tell people is, and I do this myself, when it comes to both movement, whether it's working out in yoga and my own personal time, I literally put it into my calendar. Like it's any other appointment. Like I schedule it in my calendar and I say yoga 2:00 or gym at this time or day off. Like I put it in there. So when I'm
scheduling, that takes discipline though.
I like have to look at it and I have to, like, if I schedule something else in my calendar at that time, I have to like see that I'm deleting my yoga place I'm deleting my day off. So it's this extra layer of accountability that you put on yourself where you're like, no, this space, and I have it as a recurring, repeating a weekly event. So that's something that I feel like creates having that visual, and it creates that accountability to stick to it. And it creates this idea of like, no, this is important. Just like my client where I'm making money is important. This is worthy of a space on my calendar in the same way that like my clients is. Because you know what? My client values their workout. Why am I not going to value my workout? Or my client values their meditation time. They're paying me to come over and help them do that. I need to value my time to do the same thing as well.
That's so
and
powerful.
And so it's like, I can't value my client's time to do those things more than I value my own.
And that is so powerful.
I feel like putting it in your calendar it makes you look at that time differently and it holds you to it. It keeps you accountable. And of course there are times when like, you know, life happens and things come up and things shift. Like, you know, like I have guidelines for myself. I try to be also compassionate with like hard and fast rules and recognize that like life happens. But as a general rule, like having those times consistently in place is super helpful.
That's really powerful because, you know, I think that's something that I'm going to start to institute. I keep saying I have my Pilates machine in my garage and I'm like, okay, I'll get to it. I love Pilates, right? There is absolutely no reason for me to walk down the stairs, make a right, and do what I need to do, you know? But I'm always finding, oh, I got to go online and do this. Oh, I got to do that. I got to do something else. Something else is always more important. You know, I'm still learning. You know, I by no means am I perfect in this, you know? And so this conversation is really good for me as well, because I will, even though I'll take time for myself, meditating in quiet time and journaling. I'm really big on that. The movement part, Tiana, is where I need help with, because maybe I'm not valuing that as much as the mental space. You get what I'm saying? The physical.
Totally.
You know, and I think there are a lot of people
err on one side or the other. People typically are either like valuing the mental or the physical, but I have a hard time valuing both.
So how would you say would be a good method, or, you know, how could you value both and balance both? If, like you said, most people find one over the other, should you have both? What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I think that our modern culture has very much disconnected the mind and the body, but that actually, like, they are not two separate things. Like, they are intricately, like, interwoven. Like, you cannot separate them. And there's science and studies to back all this up. You know, those, like, psychosomatic reactions in the body. It's like what you think, your body manifests that. So, like, you know, for example, like, we all know people who are angry or unforgiving or like just like tense people, and like most of them probably have high blood pressure and like heart problems, and or they're like their shoulders are up and they're always like, you know, balled up and tight because they're carrying around this. Your body literally stores tension that you're creating in your mind, and it's the same way in reverse. Like, how you treat your body is also going to show up in how you think about yourself as well. So like, these two things are not separate. They are deeply connected together. So I think step number one is changing how we think about it, rather than being like, this is for my body and this is for my mind. Being like, no, it's actually all for everything. Like, working out's for my mind just as much as it is my body. And meditating's for my body just as much as it's about my mind. You know, because it is. Like, when you're meditating, you are creating a physical response in your body. You're reducing inflammation. You're lowering your heart rate. You're decreasing in your stress. Like, if you're moving in like a yoga practice, like, you are literally building bone density. You're like getting better lung capacity and heart health. Like, it's all about the body, even when it's in, like, you know, you think it's more focused on your mind. So I think number one is realizing that they're kind of the same thing. And I think too, it can be great, you know, depending on people's time frames and how long they have, is rather than being like, okay, I got to work out for like a whole hour, And then I can have this separate time for my, like, my mental health. It's like, determine the amount of time that you have. Let's say it's only 30 minutes. Fine. 15 minutes of that, move, sweat, do something. Even if it's just like stretching, stretch, whatever. And then the other 15 minutes, have a quick meditation. And like, put it together. As I work with my clients in that way a lot, rather than having it be separate, being like, okay, we're going to start with our like physical movement and workout. After that, we're going to go into our stretching. And after that, we're going to have a few moments to meditate and then like journal, goal set, and talk about the day and the week ahead. Yes. And I really, really like having those kind of like all-in-one sessions because it's all the same. It's all working towards the same goal. And if you can work on all the stuff together, it solidifies that in your brain. Like, if you get to continually work on these things separately, your mind thinks that they're separate. But if you work on these things simultaneously, it starts to teach your mind, oh, wait, these are actually, these are connected here. So I like to do that. Like, it doesn't have to be, you're carving out all this separate time. Like, pick half an hour, do squats or planks or abs or, you know, whatever for part of that time, stretch part of that time, and then meditate part of that time. And there you go. You have your mind, body, wellness for the day.
Wow.
You know?
Okay, that's awesome. And you know, as simple as that sounds, we typically don't think of it that way. You know?
Right.
Wow.
No, it's where we've completely separated it out. Even you know, one of my favorite things about yoga, like, philosophy or whatever, is that it's all about, so we have, okay, have you seen the, I believe it's a TED Talk on power stances? And literally, like, studies show that if you, before you have an interview, if you are like sitting down, looking at your phone, like hunched over, like nervous, whatever, whatever, you're likely to perform not as well in your interview.
Yes.
If before that interview you go into like a bathroom or like someplace where you don't look crazy, but you find space and you like stand with your feet wide and your arms up in the air and your chest up, and you're taking up space, you're likely to perform well. And so that goes back to that psychosomatic thing. Like, what you put in the body is what how it's going to manifest in your mind as well.
Right.
So this kind of goes into like yoga. It's like, let's say
you're in like the warrior poses, right? The warrior one, two, these like strong standing shapes. Like what that's doing, you are embodying the archetype of a warrior, right? So it's like, it's not just about the shape you're creating. It's about embodying what that archetype represents and being like, harnessing that strength, that strong aspect, and how can that show up in your life? And that goes the same way with like backbends. Backbends are like super heart opening and like vulnerable, right? So it's like people who are closed off and like have, you know, whether it's trust issues or lack of self-esteem or like, you know, whatever this, you know, the whole gamut of things it could be, getting their shoulders back and their chest up and their heart open, like literally helps make you more of a more open and vulnerable person in real life. Or, you know, folding down, like, you know, like doing a forward fold. It's a slowing down shape. It's turning more inward. So if you're really high strung and you're having a crazy day and you just kind of like ground yourself, sitting down and like going into a forward fold, letting your neck and your head drop off. Like you are literally turning in, you are folding in. And these shapes are about embodying those archetypes that we want to see show up off the mat, like in our lives. And so that's part of the reason why I love yoga so much as well, because it's a way to channel it on the mat and then it helps you take it off.
Absolutely. So let me ask you this, playing devil's advocate a little bit. What about people who say, you know, I'm not into yoga, I don't like yoga, I'm too stiff for yoga, what else is there for me to do?
Sure. Well, I can also say this. I used to hate yoga. Weirdly enough, I hated yoga. I did not like it. And I found that it might take some time to kind of like get into a new habit. But it's about finding what works for you. Not every teacher or class is going to work for you. It's finding what specifically. There are some teachers that I don't go to. I don't like their class. Other people, but finding what works for you. Also, I will say this, if you're like, oh, I'm too stiff for yoga or like whatever, it's like, well, that's why you do yoga, right? Like nobody starts off being like, go to like beginner classes, go to more restorative classes. You don't have to throw yourself into the deep end, like start slow.
But even not doing what I did.
Right.
Yeah. Started with hot yoga.
Yoga. No, do not do that. People tend to throw themselves into things, and you know, and I appreciate that sentiment. People are excited, they just like go for it, but it ends up backfiring because then they get overwhelmed and they just stop moving altogether. So my general, you know, advice is to start slow. Can you find beginner classes? Can you find restorative classes? Can you work with somebody one-on-one, maybe not long-term, but to learn the basics so you feel more comfortable? And that can be a great way to like manage expectations and build a sustainable routine.
Right.
You know, I think that's true. Even like working out the gym, people, you know, New Year's hits and they're like, I'm going to work out.
Everyone's in the gym.
And then if they don't work out 5 days a week, they feel crappy. And then they're like, well, I can't maintain this. And then they just stop. So it's like, well, can you start with once a week? And then once that's going well, okay, then can you add two? And then can you add, and like building on your foundation is important. But I will say this too, you know what, like not every type of movement is for everybody.
Right.
Movement should be something that you like and that you enjoy. And if you just hate yoga and it's just like, you don't want to do it, like, you know what, I'm okay with that. Like, I do think you need to find some type of movement, but maybe for you, going on a walk in the morning and then taking 5 minutes to stretch and be somewhat mobile. That's what you like, and that's what works for you, and you can maintain that.
Right.
Great. Like, I don't think everybody needs to be doing the same kind of movement. Everybody needs to be moving for sure.
Okay.
And I do think there should be a mobility based, like whether walking is great. That's why I love yoga. The mobility of it all. Like I love weightlifting.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to, in my opinion, like long-term overall like health in your body, the first thing people recognize or realize has left is their range of motion, that it's harder to get up and down, that standing up and sitting down is harder, that their joints are hurting more. And there's a phrase in the industry that we say, motion is lotion. And the more you move, the more you maintain that, you know, quote unquote lotion in the body, like your joints literally, like they move smoother. If you stop, like you lose actual fluid, like in your body, like you lose collagen, you lose moisture, like you lose the things that are keeping you. Yeah, you do. And so I do think that people need to be doing mobility based, not just weightlifting, but like keeping their like range of motion open in their body. But that can show up in, it can show up in yoga, but it can show up in other ways as well. Like walking again is a great way just to kind of like keep the joints like going. Because yeah, if people, you're going to realize you've lost strength and all that too. Mm-hmm. But the main thing people realize has left as they age is that they can't move the same way. That walking hurts, that, you know, and so I feel like that's something to be mindful of as well. It's not, you don't have to move in the same way as everybody else, but you do need to be moving at some capacity.
Wow. I don't like to necessarily move.
Yeah, it's okay.
So now that I know this, motion is lotion. I will keep that in mind. Motion is lotion.
Yeah. It literally impacts how your joints like coat themselves and move. It impacts how smoothly things feel. Especially for women, one of the main issues women face as women age is bone density. And women tend to have higher rates of like osteoarthritis, osteoporosis. Right. We literally lose density in our bones, which makes us more susceptible to breaks and falls and things like that. Mm-hmm. And the number one way to increase bone density is by weight bearing. Now, this doesn't have to mean, you know, you're lifting weights in the gym. Weight bearing can be your own body. Bearing your own body's weight also counts as weight bearing. So this could be standing, again, walking, even like simple things like holding a plank, like body weight squats, like all of that counts. I do advocate for weightlifting. I do think that, especially as women, for a multitude of reasons. One, the bone density and like, you know, all of that, but also like feeling strong in that way as a woman is very empowering. Like feeling that you are like, you can lift X amount of weight and like you feel like you have muscle and you, like there is something uniquely, you know, men too, but I feel like for women in a world that tells us like our bodies don't belong to us in the same way that men's bodies belong to them. Like it's a powerful feeling to feel like strong in that way in your body. But yeah, weight bearing can be a lot of things, but it's literally gonna impact your bones. There's studies that show that like it's down to like the cellular level, like working out or like meditating down to your cells is like creating that change. See, yeah, the motion is lotion. Like that's the phrase. Like just keep telling yourself that. And it doesn't have to be the same kind of motion every day. It doesn't have to be the same kind of motion as that girl on Instagram, but it has to be some kind of motion.
So I totally get it. And I know for me, sometimes it's just laziness. It's just pure laziness. And I recognize that. And that's something that I'm working through and knowing that, you know, motion is lotion. That's now my phrase now. Motion is lotion to motivate me to going into that garage and getting on that Pilates machine because I love Pilates. Right. And the funny thing is when I was doing it, I love yoga and Pilates. And, when I was really doing Pilates, I saw a difference very, very, very quickly with my strength, you know, my core strength and how that mentally helped me. You know what I mean? I kind of got more in alignment with doing Pilates and combining that with yoga, like interchanging those during the week. I was so much more centered. I was so much more centered and easily, not easily thrown off. You know what I'm saying? I could do the movements. I could lift my body weight and not shake. You know what I'm saying? It was amazing. But again, this is not necessarily for everyone, you know? So self-care with, you know, taking care of your body, taking care of your mind. There are many different things that you can do, but I think one of the things that you're saying is definitely find what you like, and create a routine, right?
Yes. Cause if you hate something, you're not going to do it. And even if you do it, if you're saying, oh, I hate this the entire time, like you're literally wiring, you're creating that neurological pathway in the brain of like movement, hate, movement, hate, movement, hate. Like it's making that connection. like what you think on, like you are literally forging pathways in the brain. And like what you think more and more, those ruts in the brain get deeper and deeper. And the brain is super, like, you can change your brain. Like, it's super, like, moldable, but it's work. Once a pathway is formed, it takes a lot more effort to make another one instead. So I would say create that pathway of movement, joy, movement, joy, movement, joy. Like, what do you enjoy doing? And I think there are ways to, like, even do this in a way that's fun. Like, I love training, like, friends or couples, like, together. There's a lot more, like, laughter that goes right. on. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't have a trainer with a friend, like, can you have a friend or a group of friends that can be like accountability partners, where like you maybe get together and you walk for 30 minutes once a week, or you go, you know, you go to a park and you do, you know, you walk or you stretch, or even just checking in on each other, even if it's hard to meet up in person. Can you have people that you can check in on with? Can you form like a Facebook group and like talk about your highs and your lows and, mm-hmm. you know, encourage each other? And that's a way to create, you know, community creates joy. So creating those joyful things surrounding movement, especially when you're starting out. I will say this, like, sometimes at the start, that's the hardest part. Like, starting is the hardest part. And at the beginning, like, it might not be super enjoyable. Like, that's also a fact of it as well. It's like you're creating a new habit,
right?
And you're coming up against the however many years of not doing that thing. So you're creating a new pathway in the brain. You're creating a new habit. And so your brain doesn't really like doing that at first. So it's resistant. Or even I've had people that when we start training, like the first couple sessions, like their body is not used to it. So they might feel a little bit dizzy or like maybe right. a little bit nauseous. They're really sore at first, even though, you know, maybe didn't do anything too crazy, but they're really sore. And it's just like, yeah, the first couple weeks, this might be a little bit challenging, but the more you do it, like, now, like, myself, as well as, like, my clients, like, they crave movement. Like, and I do as well. Like, if I go X amount a day, like, I try to, like, I do something every day, even if it's just, like, walking. I move something every day. But you're, now it's, like, I can't just not move. Like, my body, like, it needs it. It tells me it needs it. Like, I'm aware of, like, it's talking. It's like, I need to, like, it wants to. Whereas before, I had to force myself to go to the gym. Mm-hmm. Or my clients had to force themselves to go to the gym. Now it's like, oh no, I absolutely have to build this into my day. I have a free hour. Perfect. Like, I'm going to go to the gym, you know? And so I think it's also, there's a bit of pushing through. But I do think that if you just absolutely hate a certain kind of movement, then find something that you hate less.
Right.
And work and, you know, build the habit up. And, you know, the more joy you can create around your body and around your movement patterns is important. I don't think that typically we don't think of working out or eating well in like a joyful way. It's something that, like, we have to do, not something that, like, we get to do or that makes us feel better. And yeah, I think that contributes a lot to some of our messed up connections to our bodies and messed up connections to food and relationships that we have with those things. I think because we have such negative self-talk or culture talk about our bodies and food, that if we can change that and create more positive connections, we'll have a lot more positive connections to our bodies as well.
So to take that a little bit further, what are maybe two or three tips to stay motivated, to keep self-care as a priority for yourself?
Yes. So some of the things I've already mentioned, and I'll touch back on those as well as a few other things I can recommend. So one is being realistic and setting manageable goals that you can build on, not just jumping into the deep end, but how can you build? Being intentional, scheduling it on your calendar like any other appointment. Another thing I recommend is doing it in the morning before the day gets in the way. I love to sleep. It's like, it's hard for me to get up earlier than I have to.
I know.
But if I know
too.
The only time I have, do it, because you know what? One, it's a great way to start your day. It's gonna, you think that you're tired, but once you move, you actually have more energy, like, just without fail. And two, like, things come up during the day, like, oh, I had to work late, or work was really, really hard today, or so and so pissed me off. Now I'm in a bad mood. I just want to go home and have a glass of wine now. I don't want to go to the, you know, you like, it happens all the time. Like,
me.
Do it before the day gets in the way. So do it in the morning.
Right.
Put it in your calendar. Mm-hmm. Know your triggers. Guard against them. Like, I have a rule for myself most days. I try not to get on social media or email the first couple hours of the day. Just because I just feel like
it just starts my day off negatively. Like, it's not always the most positive place. And it also, I start my day just distracted right away, like in that infinite yes. Facebook scroll.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, I feel more tired after doing it. I'm like, how have I wasted just however long just scrolling? I feel almost more drained. I don't feel replenished after doing that. So I try to take a few hours to not. So if you're trying to work out in the mornings, like, set your alarm, put it in your calendar. You wake up in the morning, you move, you don't check your phone before. You don't look at your texts. You don't look at your emails. You don't start answering, and then you're and now you're caught up. And now, oh well, I'll work out tomorrow, I guess. It's like, no, put the phone away. Turn your phone off if you have to.
Right.
So do it then. And again, know your triggers. If you know whether it's, oh, it's my emails, or maybe it's your kids, or maybe it's, you know, it could be a billion different things, right? Know what those things are and have a plan to defend yourself against them, like to like guard your space, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And again, having accountability, whether that's hiring a coach or a trainer, whether that's creating a group of friends that you can have fun and create accountability with. And again, building that regular routine. The human brain likes routine. We're creatures of habit. And so the more we can build like that regularity, it's gonna make it a lot easier to maintain. Yeah, right. And again, it's just rewiring your brain to treat yourself like you matter. Like, besides the physical impacts of all of, like, you know, of working out and of yoga, it's, you know, what you believe and internalize what you habitually do. And if you continually treat yourself like an afterthought, you internalize that. You start to think of yourself as an afterthought. So
I think as women, yeah, sometimes it's so easy to do that. Everybody else and everything else is more important. Now, we may not necessarily say that, but in our actions, it's showing that something else is more important. Something else, other people, something outside of myself is so much more important than me. And I think we struggle with that. You know I struggle with that. I'm still mm-hmm. learning. You know, one of the things that you said that really hit home for me is, put it in your calendar. And if you're putting something over it in your calendar, like, you really have to look at it. You know what I'm saying?
If you're deleting your appointment for like self-care time, you're like, oh, like, it's not, the aesthetics aren't great. It just doesn't look good. You know, like,
it doesn't feel good.
It doesn't feel good to delete self-care out of your calendar.
like when you said that, it kind of like, I was like, shoot, you know, if I do that, I'm really sending a message to my brain that I'm not important, you know, something else is important. And it's funny how we put other people in front of ourselves. So if you have something on your calendar for a client or for work or whatever the case may be, oh, I have to do that because they're depending on me. How about you depending on yourself, you know, and treating yourself like you are your own best friend, right?
Yep. So you are someone of value. And the thing is too, you know what, not everybody believes that or feels that. And it can be, you know, some days we do, some days we don't. Like, again, these things aren't linear. Coming back to that idea, like, these things are not linear. But it's like a fake it till you make it. In the same way of like the power stances, like taking on those shapes makes you feel more powerful and more confident. Even if it's literally fake it. If you don't believe that you're an object of value yet, you don't think you deserve mm-hmm. movement or deserve to feel good or deserve happiness. We all have all these hangups about that kind of stuff. It's like, that's fine. Don't believe it right now. But the more you do it, you're telling your brain that you are important. And soon enough, you will actually believe it.
What do you say?
That's just how it works. Like,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, keep going. Sorry about that.
I was going to say, what do you say to the woman specifically? The women out there who says that's really selfish, you know, self-care is really selfish. Me taking time away from my family and from my kids, this is really selfish. I don't have the time. Like, what would you say to that woman?
Sure. Two things. One, you touched on this earlier. If you're not taking care of yourself, you cannot show up in your most full way to anybody else. So you're actually minimizing your relationship with your kids, with your spouse, with your friends, if you're not taking care of yourself.
one of the best ways to show up fully and authentically and be present with those people that you love is to take care of yourself. You're doing them a disservice if you don't. So if it helps to like think of it that way, being like, okay, it's not about me. I'm doing this for my kids.
Right.
That can be for some women, that's like, they don't think of themselves as important right now. And you know what? We can work on that, but let's just get you moving. You're doing it for your kids.
Right.
If that's what gets you up out of bed and like doing something, then tell yourself that, you know?
Right.
And the second thing I'll say about it is a little selfishness isn't the worst thing in the world.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, I mean, living, you know, I don't have kids and I have my husband, but like I move for myself. And
right.
Why as women have we been told that that's wrong, that doing something for ourselves is wrong? Men do things for themselves all the time. Why can't women do things for themselves and not feel guilty about it?
And not feel, and that's the thing. Not feeling guilty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're culturally taught to feel all this like shame and guilt.
Absolutely.
And that we exist for other people when it's actually like, you know what? Even if you actually are not defined in your essence by anyone else, even though I know, you know, partners and children, all of that, they have such a connection that it can feel like they do. But at the end of the day, like at your essence, like you are you and they are they, and
Yes. They
feed into each other.
Yes.
But you exist apart from that. Even I think moms, I'm not a mother yet. So mm-hmm. I might be speaking a little out of, you know, my lane here, but I think moms especially have this, like there's a, you know, a mother's love is like, I mean, as you know, I'm sure mm-hmm. is like fierce and all encompassing. And I think a lot of people, I've seen my own mother go through this and other clients of mine as well. Like they lose themselves entirely in their kids so that they don't know who they are without their kids anymore.
Oh my goodness. And, you know, I just had that conversation and
Yeah. Oh
my God, that is a whole other topic, you know, because women and children, moms and their children. I say to people right now, I am so thankful. And my mother probably, she doesn't, I'm going to have her to listen to this. I am so grateful for my mother and what she did in raising me and my siblings. She made sure that she protected her space. Like
Yeah. When
she walked through that door, do not even approach her. And it wasn't a mean thing. It was, this is my time. I need to unwind. I need to, you know, get back to me and then we can talk. Do not rush me. You know, do not, it just was really interesting with my mom, but she, for lack of a better word, trained us in that way, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think my sister and I are the mother, the types of mothers that we are. And I can really speak, let me speak for myself. It sounds selfish to some people, but I'm not, my kids do not encompass my entire life. You know what I mean? And I'm glad
Yeah.
I have it that way because I have a 24-year-old and I say to myself all the time, if I did not have the two younger ones, what would I be? Where would I be? And how would I be if I was 110% engulfed in my oldest and now he's gone? What would I have?
Exactly.
You
and
know?
Like I saw my mom walk through that journey herself. Like, I mean, I also, like, I have the best, most supportive, like, mom ever.
Mm-hmm.
But she, like, existed for me and my brother.
Wow.
And like she was in just all the support, all the love, mm-hmm. all the everything. But there was, but I'm like, okay, but who were you before though?
Exactly.
And who are you now? Because now guess what? My brother and I are both not at home anymore. We're both away. It's like, if you're raising your kids right, you're raising them to make their own lives.
Right.
And so it's like, you're raising them to not need you in the same way anymore. I think that's really hard for people,
mm-hmm.
but it's true. And it's also, it's like this idea of, again, if you can't think of doing it for yourself, take care of yourself and take your time for yourself apart from your kids so that your kids have a model to look at. So
Absolutely.
That your kids, when someone treats them like they're not important or they're not valuable or that they exist for other people and not themselves, they have an example of that not, they have an example of like, no, actually I can't exist for myself. I can create my boundaries and my rules and my this and my that. And I can't exist on my own terms because I saw my mom do it. I have this mm-hmm. example. So as women, if you can't get out of the headspace quite yet of being like, it's selfish, I can't take time for myself, be like, well, I'm doing it for my kids so that they can look to me and right. see how they should treat themselves.
At least start there.
You know?
Start there.
Start there. And then it'll build. It'll build. But like, start there. Start where you are. And then like, build on that, you know? And it's important. And I think women, again, especially, we have so much baggage, guilt, shame, cultural oh, yeah. narratives, like all these hangups. And they're all like, it's lies. And we believe it because, again, we've been told and have fought it over and over and over again. And that's the pathway in our brain now. So we have to fight hard in a lot of ways to make a new one. And self-care is part of that. Self-care is a way of reclaiming your body, your mind, and like your very essence in a world that like tries to like distract you from it.
Creating boundaries.
Yeah.
Definitely creating boundaries. And it's hard for some people to do that, you know? And it's funny, in my coaching, we work on that, you know, with certain people, with certain clients that I have, definitely have to work on creating boundaries and retraining yeah. others, you know, whether it's your partner, husband, whoever, children, retraining them on how to interact with you, because now you need your space. Now I'm reclaiming, you know, reclaiming my time and reclaiming my space. Because if you right? If you've never really done that before, and then all of a sudden you start doing it, there, you know, some people will think, oh, then you don't love me anymore. No, because I love you, I'm doing this. But because I love me, I have to do it, you know?
Exactly.
So it's the psychology behind that. Oh my goodness. We could talk for hours.
That's a whole 10 other podcasts.
Oh my goodness. It is. We may need to talk about that, you know, with a few people, to be honest, you know? But yeah, yes. I think starting, just like what you said, starting, if you have to say doing it for your kids, then start there, but start somewhere. Yes. So important.
Yes. But just start. That's what I'm saying. I think, you know, if you don't have it all figured out yet, or you don't have the whole plan, or whatever. We just don't start. We either was like, well, I'll start next month or next year, and you say, or next Monday, you say, I'll do it next Monday enough times, and before you know it, another year has passed. And you haven't
exactly.
done it. And exactly. So it's like taking the first step, no matter how small. It can be small. Don't say 5 days a week. Don't say I'm going to get a trainer and weightlift like crazy. It's like, no, like if it's walking, it's walking. If it's getting out of bed 10 minutes early and stretching a little bit, and that's how it starts, mm-hmm. it counts. Like these, I think people have, if it's not everything, then it's nothing. But there's yeah. a lot of steps along the way, and it builds on it, that you create that momentum and it snowballs in this awesome way. But it starts with that first step. That's it. So like, what is that first step that you can make like now? Like, what is that? Can you identify one point, one step that like is manageable, that is sustainable, that brings some kind of like joy or positivity, even if it's just the knowledge that you're doing something for yourself? Like, what is that one thing that you can do? And like, can you start now? Today.
Right. You know? Right.
And just like, you know, the idea of waiting till Monday or waiting till next month, like, you know, it's all arbitrary. Like these days and times and months, it's all made up. So like,
yeah,
every day is a chance. Every day is a chance to start. I used to think that if I didn't work out on Monday, then like my whole week was like, well, I might as well just not work out the whole rest of the week then. It's like, wait, that makes no sense. Or like if I have one cookie, I might as well have 10 cookies. And I'm like, wait a second, that's really, really, really different numbers. That's like drastically different. But yeah, we think that way though, right? Like we have all these ideas that if it's either everything or it's nothing. And it's like, no, there's a lot on the journey, and like literally every day is a chance to start over. It's a new day every year. Like we should like, that's it. I'm sorry, not a new day every year. It's a new day every day.
A new day every day.
You don't have to wait for the new year to exactly. like feel like we can start over.
Exactly.
You know, in yoga, they say every breath is a chance to begin again.
Yeah.
And it's true. If someone pisses you off in your day, or you're in a bad mood or whatever, you take a time. Take a breath, and like you can use that breath to choose to start over, to detach from that last experience.
Right.
Breathe, and I'm starting over now. Every breath is a chance to start over again.
I need to remember that.
And it's true.
That. Yeah, my hand is up right now. Like, I seriously need to remember that every breath is a new opportunity. Absolutely.
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 And I think the more we do this, you know, it bleeds in over and overflows into everything, you know, our relationships, our career, our, you know, our hobbies, start making time for yourself. And like, what else do you like? Like, if you, I feel like it starts from me in the body. Mm-hmm. And once you start with that, like, it opens up so many doors of power, of enjoyment, of knowing what you deserve, of building a life that makes you happy. And that's what's, at least for me, like, feeling happy, feeling free, feeling like my life is one that I want to be living.
Yeah.
Like, that's everything. And it starts, it's for me, it's always, you know, if I'm a dancer at the age of 2, it's always started in the body for me. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's true for a lot of my clients as well. Like, it's the closest thing that you have. It's like the only thing you really own. Like, that's,
yes.
It is you. Like, it's what you walk around and experience the world in daily. And so if you start there and treat that well, it opens up a lot of doors.
And you have to treat it well. You really have to treat it well and your mind well and live, you know, live well and not live where you feel like I'm obligated for this and I'm stuck and I need to be, you know, I'm this for this person. I'm obligated to this person. I'm stuck in a relationship for this. I'm stuck in a job for this. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Like, you really need to take stock and think about what it is that makes you happy. What do you, what should you be living for? Not external to you or to other people and expectations of others, because everyone has their own journey. Everyone has their own life. Everyone has their own breath. You know, you have your essence.
Yep.
You should be living true to that, honestly. And it really starts with taking care of yourself, you know, and once you are taking care of yourself, it'll spill over into other areas of your life. And, you know, your confidence starts building. If it's you have low confidence, that starts to build because you're doing something that you can have mini wins. And once you see these little mini wins, they get bigger wins and you start to feel good about yourself, right?
Yeah. You take that first step and you set a goal that you can maintain and achieve, and then you do it, and that you're like, oh, you get a boost, and that inspires you, or maybe helps you take that first step to maybe take a slightly bigger, you know, goal or leap, and maybe a slightly bigger one after that. And other people see it too. Other people, you know, people exude confidence and power, or lack of confidence and power. Like, people give off those vibes. You can pick up on that energy.
Absolutely.
And so if you're walking through the world, you know, as this person that values themselves, like, it makes other people value you more too, or like, it helps you know what you'll tolerate or accept from other people, whether that's coworkers, bosses, spouses, kids, like, whoever, you know, like, it's people respond to what you put out there. And if you're putting out, you know, lack of power or like weakness or lack of confidence or whatever, like, people know that, and that's going to impact how they treat you.
Absolutely.
But if you're putting out other vibes out, they're like, that's, people pick up on that too.
Absolutely. Well, Tiana, this was amazing.
I love this.
I'm sorry?
No, I said, I love this. This topic is, it's everything.
It is, because, you know, we go into it thinking it's one thing. And I think those who listen are probably thinking, oh, self-care. But it touches every part of your life, your entire being. It's your entire being. And, you know, the energy that you bring, you have the energy that you put out there, it spills over into so many, in every area of your life. So that's why it's so important, you know, that you take time for yourself, that you are replenishing I mean, we sleep for a reason. Your body needs that time to rest. So
Absolutely.
Why not, you know, take it further and, you know, not necessarily force yourself, but force yourself to take care of yourself. You know, you don't only need sleep. You need other things as well, you know?
Exactly. Any people who think, you know, oh, okay, you know, self-care is a hot topic right now. Like, okay, self-care. And I'm like,
right.
I think we have misconceptions about what that even means. Like, it's not just bubble baths and shower. Like, it's, as my,
exactly.
my definition,
says, it's like honoring your deepest needs and belief and action. And sure, maybe that might be a bubble bath sometimes. And maybe sometimes that's making yourself do the dishes. Maybe that's sometimes getting the logistics of your life in order. Maybe that's sometimes making yourself move your body. And it's honoring what you truly need. And when you can learn to do that, like, just doors open up.
Absolutely.
All you know, it creates so much change. I love this topic.
So do I. I'm passionate about it, you know, because just dealing with women and talking to women, there's so much baggage that we have with this and guilt that we share.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, empowering each other and just being there for each other and just being sometimes an ear for someone else and just encouragement that no, it's not, yeah. it's not, you shouldn't feel guilty about it. You really shouldn't. And if people are making you feel guilty about it, you may want to reevaluate that relationship.
Yeah.
Not saying leave it, yeah, or anything like that, but just, you know, refocus and retrain, yeah, that relationship, right?
Yep, absolutely. And creating people in your life or having people in your life that do support you. And absolutely, if, you know, having talks with people that are currently in your life about, you know, your new goals and plans and how you need them to show up for you. And if some people are in your life that, you know, this is the only, for lack of a better term, like non-essentials, like people that, yeah, are in your life that aren't that very supportive, but right, like you can kind of do without them. Like there's no need to keep people in your circle who aren't invested in you and who you're not invested in, who are more of a drain or a distraction. There's no, like, it's totally healthy and positive to like weed out your circle as well. And to have the people that are in your life understand where you're at and like have them show up for you.
Absolutely. Kind of goes back to boundaries.
Absolutely. It's all connected.
So connected. We need to continue this conversation and take it elsewhere. You know, I mean, it could, I want to invite you back for that. Definitely. Because that is a topic, I think, and it's not buzzwords or anything like that. I think we as women struggle, really struggle. And I find it so amazing that I still come into contact with women who truly are burdened by, yeah, these self-limiting beliefs and beliefs that are thrown on them because they're living in it every day and they don't know what to do. So
yeah,
I think it's really important to help with the encouragement and to show women, you know, there is another way. And no, you are not selfish. And no, you should not feel guilty. You are a person just like anyone else. And you are valued, right, and valuable, and you're worthy.
You, right, know?
So
absolutely.
I love this. Thank you so much. This was very enlightening. I have quite a few things that I am going to, you know, implement and, yeah, take it one step at a time because I know me.
Right.
This is the Ask the Coach segment, and you can ask me anything, whether it relates to you giving you advice or just advice in general. Let's go. Ask the Coach.
Oh, let me think. Now I'm like need to like think of something good.
Uh-oh, I'm scared.
I know. No. I'm thinking about like anything.
Anything.
Okay. Let's see. Does it have to be like, you know, like self-care, like related or just anything?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
Okay. So you met me and my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've been married for a little less than 2 years, like a year and a half now.
Mm-hmm.
Any recommendations or suggestions for, as a coach, you know, how to continue in maintaining a healthy and positive and relationship of boundaries and wellness and just anything you can speak to in terms of that?
I love this. I love this question. And I, you know, do you believe in synchronicities?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So once again, I had this conversation.
Funny.
And it's so funny that this is coming up because there's a parallel to in my life as well regarding this topic. And regarding relationships and having healthy relationships and maintaining a healthy relationship, I think the thing that I can say is that communication is paramount. And when I say communication, not just talking to each other and sharing things with each other, understanding. The communication with understanding what the other person is saying and listening to what they're not saying, right? Mm-hmm. Very important, extremely important. And being open to hearing those things and then talking about it, you know? I struggle with it. I am not perfect by any means because I, you know, we all have our baggage, right? And we all have these things that we bring with us and into any new relationship. And it's a matter of recognizing what didn't work before, right? Mm-hmm. And shifting to a better way and a better you, you know, and being with someone who brings out the best in you and wanting to work things out and wanting to work things through. So, you know, I used to hear all the time, oh, don't go to sleep mad. I never really understood what that meant until I really understood what that meant. Like, you really don't want to build animosity and resentment, you know? So communication, not just talking to each other, but talking with each other, listening to what the other person is not saying and understanding, you know, what they're bringing into the conversation, like all of the stuff, you know what I'm saying, that you don't see, but you see it manifest in their actions and why they say what they say, why they're doing what they're doing. Just really being very understanding and having an open, very open, you know, open lines of communication. And that's being vulnerable. Like, if you're really vulnerable with your partner, oh my goodness, if you are really vulnerable, you can speak and experience almost anything and be secure in that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And not concerned or worried or having doubt. So what I would say, continue to build the communication channels and creating a safe space where you are putting a boundary around. And when I say a boundary, you're protecting to the utmost your space as a couple.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So conversations that you want to have, you may think twice about going outside of the relationship to have those conversations with other people. You know what I'm saying? Because if you want to have the conversation about a certain topic, talk with the person directly. Now, sometimes, you want to hear different opinions, this, that, or the other. I try to limit that as much as possible because you want to protect your space, you know, and you as a couple, no one else understands or knows what your space really looks like. You get what, does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I would definitely say, you know, of course there are your ups and downs and there's sometimes you don't want to talk and that is okay. Protecting your space as an individual and protecting your space as a couple and knowing when to step back. And I just had this conversation. Knowing when to step back and knowing when to approach, you know? It's a dance, knowing when to lead, when to be led. So it's a dance that you, I think in the first few years, you're figuring out that dance. And there's times when you're leading, there's times when you're following. And you get into a rhythm and you start to get into that rhythm. It's like, okay, we got it. So I definitely would say the communication part of being vulnerable to hearing and listening to what's not being said and being open to hearing those things, because sometimes it's not things that we want to hear or even want to deal with, you know?
Right.
So just making sure you protect that space with the two of you.
Absolutely. Well, that's, thank you so much for that. That's definitely some stuff to like.
It's not easy.
I love it. No, it's super real though.
It's not easy, but you know, it's sometimes you just have to walk away and then come back, because if you immediately say certain things, you cannot take it. You can never take it back because it's already out there. So it's there. You have to say, you know what, babe, 10 minutes or maybe even tomorrow, but please allow me this. We're good.
Yeah.
Allow me this, you know, even I'm going to take this. Trust me. I need it. You know,
I go back to it. Like, I got you, but like right now I need
right.
This.
Or it's like, I was watching a show last night and the lady said to the guy, she was about to, you know, like go off the handle. She was like, I'm saving your life right now. So I'm going to walk away. I'm going to walk away and then I'll be back. And I thought that was so funny. I'm like, but sometimes that's true, you know?
Right.
But yeah, I think the you're still learning each other, you know? You're still very much learning each other. So I would definitely say protect your space.
I love it. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
You are so welcome. You are so welcome. So welcome. So again, Tiana, thank you for joining. Thank you for this awesome, awesome conversation. I got a lot from it. And I hope everyone found value in the tips and the information on self-care and how holistically it is so important for your life. So Tiana, can you tell everyone how they can reach you, how they can find you, what your social handles are?
Yes. So you can follow me on Instagram. It's Move with Tiana. Tiana has one N, Move with Tiana. And it's all kinds of stuff on there. Just coaching, wellness, yoga, travel, fitness, all the things that, you know, I love and that are part of my self-care. So follow me there. And I'd love to talk with you, chat with you, send me a message anytime, comment, and I would love to chat with you more.
Awesome. And I will definitely include your info in the show notes. And again, thank you so much. I really appreciate it, you joining today. This was an amazing talk, and I am definitely going to have you back. We're going to get really down deep into some, you know, women
nitty gritty,
you know, some real ish, because there's some women that are really struggling. And I think your perspective, my perspective, and some other people, I think we can really help a lot of people, you know?
I completely agree. Have a little round table.
Absolutely.
Panel situation. I love it. Well,
absolutely.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad it resonated, and I can't wait to be back.
Thank you so much, Tiana. Thank you all for listening.